Hello, one and all, and welcome to the podcast we call The Fantastival with myself, Steve Nussbaum, in the podcast where I invite my guests to come on, talk to me all about their musical tastes, their memories, their experiences, and I get to collate their fantasy festivals, which I have christened a Fantastival. We're now on episode number 95. I've been away for a week, so sorry for not being available last week on the podcast, but I hope everyone's caught up and got up to date with all the Fantastivals out there. My last guest on episode 94 was the wonderful Jay Tennant, a fantastic guest. So if you've not gone back and listened to that one, please do. That was Fantastival podcast 94, but this is Fantastival 95. And this week, I'm delighted to be joined by a woman of many talents, music lover, radio show host. She had a cracking single out earlier this year. So ladies and gentlemen, it can only be the one and only, it's Laura Jane.
Hi, we've got what an introduction.
Only the best for you, Laura. Thank you for joining me on the Fantastival podcast. It feels like you've been on my list for a while, and I'm so glad to get to talk to you all about music and everything else. But like I always do, I always like to ask my guests about how they've been over the last year or two. It's been a strange 2 years. So Laura, how have you been?
I've been good. I was fortunate enough to be kept very, very busy through the pandemic because I work as a nurse in the NHS. So my life was busy, very busy. My work life turned around quite a lot, actually, because I run my own clinics and things, and we had to adapt everything for COVID. So it went from being face-to-face clinics to, you know, where we had hands-on people, to being telephone clinics, and lots of patients were extremely worried, so because we weren't getting that hands-on with them. So it was a very, very different way of working it in a really different, you know, we had to adapt. We really did have to adapt throughout that. And then there was, you know, were we going to get pulled off to go and work on the COVID wards and everything? So I had to go and do a lot of extra training around that as well. Training, you know, on stuff that I hadn't done in such a long time, because my job, I don't have to go and do a ward round. I don't have to go and do medicine rounds and things like that. So I had to do a lot of retraining within it all. So yeah, busy time for me over the last 2 years, as well as finding music again.
So a lot of my guests have said like that was a bit of a pivotal time for them to get back into music, and especially like new music. So did you have like that same experience?
So yeah, very much so. In my younger days, I loved music. I was very much into musical theatre and things like that when I was at school. I always remember going off to do an audition to go to school, theatrical school in Newcastle, and me and my friend went off to do this interview. And I always think we were a little bit like Ant and Dec, me and Rianne. So we had the whole of the waiting area just in absolute stitches, and then everybody just went in, and we had to do a piece of Shakespeare, and like everybody just forgot their lines because they were too busy just laughing at me and Rianne being, yeah, the female Ant and Dec outside. So yeah, so I've loved music from an early age, but I never really got that much into it. People didn't really know that I could sing. There was only the odd couple until my last year at school when we did a karaoke. Karaoke was only just sort of really hitting the scene then as well. Yeah. And we did a karaoke at school, and I got up and sung, and everybody was just kind of like, did she just do that? Yeah, so that was weird. Yeah, and then I kind of was into my sports, really into my sports. So that kind of took over at school as well. I played football, you know, I did some training with Middlesbrough ladies. I was represented the Northeast at gymnastics. I represented the Northeast playing hockey. Pretty good swimmer as well. So, yeah, my life was taken over by sports when I was younger.
An absolute...
Then I became a young mum. So, yeah, so then that took over.
As it does.
But I sort of never lost my love for music, and I love loud music. You know, I mean, who plays music quietly? I don't know. Who does? Not me. But, yeah, so, but I never kind of got round to doing anything myself. I wrote a bit when I was younger, me and Rianne, same lady. We wrote a few songs when we were at school, and we did quite a lot of talent contests, and absolutely kicked ass at it with our song, Yoda Skoda. Yeah.
Yoda Skoda.
Yoda Skoda.
Do you want to...
taking the piss out of one of our friends whose dad worked at Skoda, because Skoda cars were crap back then. It was before they were taken over by Audi. And yeah, he just used to sing, and it just used to go around the school, and everybody be driving along in a Skoda car. Don't look so cool, don't go real far. It's crap, absolute like garbage. But yeah, I really loved it. Obviously, I did it quite a lot better than that. And we had this really, we did a rap as well, and everywhere we go, people would get us to sing it, and yeah, it was just really, really good fun.
Which has led you on to your, I guess, now you're involved in many aspects of music, right? So I guess, first of all, let's talk about your radio show. I think there's a couple. Let's start with Loud and Lush. So, I mean, how did Loud and Lush come to be a radio show, and how did you get into it?
So that's where sort of my love of music came back, I suppose. I have a friend who was releasing his music for the first time just before lockdown. And we were sort of like really trying to push things for him. So he would say, you know, will you join here and join there and help us out here just so that you can share things? And one of the things was I got myself a Twitter account to basically just share his, you know, his music. And then I found this absolutely massive, amazing community on Twitter that has a massive passion for new music, and joined in with one of the indie discos. So I was a bit late to the party with it all, because then it, but by that point it was like during COVID. Joined in with one of the indie discos and met up with a lady who we didn't know where each other lived. I'd shared some music from Dean Dovey, and I was like, "How is this song, Journey to the Sun, not got 1,000 streams? Just how has it not? Because it just blew me away the first time I listened to Dean's song." So I was sharing that, and then everybody else was kind of jumping on that we were all sharing it, and it just kept going a little bit. And then Andy from Hartlepool, which isn't far from me, just said, why don't we do a playlist? Because from then I'd got hold of another artist and started sharing her music as well, and she was only 17, and you know, people were listening to that too. So one Sunday morning, I was laid in bed and gets this message at half eight, and she, why don't we do it? Why don't we do this playlist? And I says, okay, so how are we going to work it? And like, keep it small, 20 songs, all under 1,000 streams, and we'll just tweet it and hopefully get people to listen. She said, here's two of the songs that we've already been sharing. Here's another 5 songs. Find another like 13 songs that are under and that you like, and we'll share it. And it went mental. It blew up. I suppose people just had the time to be able to listen. And it just absolutely blew into something that we never for one second thought it would. And it ran for 10 weeks. It was pretty intense, because as soon as one song hit that 1,000 streams, we were putting more songs on, and people were just contacting us left, right and centre. Please, can it be on the playlist? And in 10 weeks that it run, we helped 87 artists.
Wow.
Hit over 1,000 streams, some of which, like Dean, had that released for about 18 months. He'd had it released and he'd only had 220 streams or something like that on it in the 18 months. And it's just blown up now. He's got over 4,000 streams or something like that, maybe even more. That was the last time I looked on that tune now. And then we got approached by the lovely April Ray from the Holler Radio. And she said, do you know what? This would just make an absolutely cracking show. Why don't you do it? Andy got a little bit shy about everything, and you know, each time it was like, oh, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. And it just rolled out for me from there, because I just said, it's all right. When you're ready, you'll come on. And she did a couple of cameos and things like that. And then the show just kept going for me. It just absolutely blew up again.
So something that's still going, and if anyone wants to listen to any back episodes, I'm guessing they can if they are listening now. Going, it sounds like a really good idea. If someone wants to go back and listen to any previous episodes, they can do that, right?
They can. It's on a lot of them are on Spotify, not all of them, because as you probably know, that April Ray's not been too well of late. So I've been doing the show myself, because April Ray and myself started off doing it together. So, and she's the tech guy, you see. I'm not very technical. She does all that side of things, and she's too poorly at the moment to even teach me how to do that thing. So yeah, but you will be able to get it on From the Holler. Yeah.
Great stuff. So not only Loud and Lush, you've also got your finger in another pie. The amazing Shits and Giggles with previous Fantastival guests. I think we've had them all now. I think you complete the quadrilogy of Kimbo.
Yes, I do.
Paula, yeah. Laura, and now Laura Jane is on. So tell us a bit more about Shits and Giggles. So I know you've recently done a new episode about festivals off the back of the Sessions. I guess this is quite a good time to talk about the Sessions. It's just Carmen and Ben. And gone. How was that for you? I've seen the photos and the videos. It looked amazing.
I mean, Kim has just done... Sorry, Kimbo. She'll kill me for calling her Kim. Don't call her Kim. It's Kimbo or Kimberly. She has done just the best job at organising this. We all kind of know Kim's story. And if you don't, she's got plenty of blogs and everything. So if you go and check her out on Twitter, there's plenty of her blogs to get her backstory. But Kimbo had breast cancer and she was diagnosed, I think, just early on in the pandemic. And she's been going through all of treatment and she's now finished. And her way of celebrating that was to bring the sessions together, which she'd been doing throughout as well. Throughout lockdown, she'd been organising a lot of acoustic sessions to be played on in New Year's. And they've just gone down a treat. They've just absolutely blown people away. And the people that have got involved have just been absolutely amazing. And she's raised so, so much money for Macmillan. And, you know, I can't tell you how proud I am of that lady. Everything that she's been through and that just the outlook that she has on life, she just brings an absolute sparkle to everybody, you know, and it just makes me so proud and makes me smile to see the amazing things that she's achieved.
Yeah.
And she's going to keep doing it. It's just going to continue. Yeah.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear. So I guess it was a bit of a no-brainer with all the musical knowledge between the four of you. And the talk that you all have, because you can all talk and you all like talking, which isn't a bad thing, especially if you're doing a radio show. I guess that was a bit of a no-brainer to try something together as a collective. And that seems to have gone down very well as well.
Yeah. I mean, I, in all fairness, you know, I've had very little to do with it apart from helping and promote the things. She has done all that herself, more or less. But obviously, she's had help from the guys at Wax and Beans, and the guys from In Your Ears have been really, really great with her. But yeah, she's pretty much done most of it on her own. We were there to help support her all the way, but yeah.
And how was the latest episode of Shits and Giggles? What can we look forward to in the festivals episode?
We had a great guest. We had Ben from Idle Noise this week talking a little bit about what they've got coming up and the fact that he is going to his first festival. I'll not tell you all too much about that because you'll be able to hear it on the show. But yeah, it's what we're trying to do with Shits and Giggles is because we are... You know, a lot of the time we are together when we're going to all the gigs and things, but we all live so far apart. You know, there's Kimberly up in Scotland and Paula's over in Ireland and Laura's down in the West Mids, and then there's me up here in Teesside. So we do come together quite a lot for the gigs, but then we also see a lot of things quite far apart. Me and Laura were together on Friday seeing Idle Noise in Coventry. And then I went up to Manchester, part of my friend Ruth, who runs the Neck of the Woods Festival. And she's a big, she's part of We Are Manchester. I don't know who they are. Please go and check them out because they are doing some absolutely amazing things for new music too. She's trying her hardest to put gigs on. I think it's up to every 2 weeks now down in Manchester and really, really pushing the new music scene. So yeah, this was the first festival and Ruth and her friend Mike have actually funded the festival themselves. And what a day. It was amazing. I wish we'd had more people there. But, you know, it's only the first time. It was an absolutely beautiful day. There was bands playing outside and then bands playing inside. So it was alternate. So you could go, we more or less stayed on time. So we, you know, we got to see all the different bands. And I think we ended up with was it about 26 bands played, something like that, a lot of bands. And they headlined with Dirty Laces. But before that, she managed to get Rowetta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Rowetta came and played for us, which was just amazing. Absolutely amazing experience to be, you know, like, you know, I could have leant out and touched her. I didn't, of course. Was tempted a few times to just go, but I didn't. Controlled myself. And she was amazing. She, you know, she got the crowd going and everything. And there was just some really fantastic acts. There was, you know, my friends at the Haciendas were playing. Manu the Daisy was playing. Alex Spencer was on. just it was just an absolutely amazing day.
Sounds like a great time had by all in that world.
Yeah, definitely.
And so not only are you a new music lover, and like I alluded to earlier in the podcast, you actually released a single back in April. So tell us about the single, because it's a great single. I was listening to it a couple of times earlier today to kind of memorise it more. And yeah, it's a cracker.
Thank you. So the whole Twitter community in music, it just expands, doesn't it? You know, there's the radio shows and there's the performers, the artists. And a couple of guys, you might have seen it, started to do something called Murder Song of the Day. Obviously, everybody was a little bit bored during COVID, and a little bit more time. So a lot of people that were just learning to play guitar like myself and who wanted to progress. And, you know, we aren't all the best singers in the world, but we give it a good murder. We do. Stevie had started doing the Murder Song of the Day, made a hashtag out of it. So please go and have a look at the hashtag, because you will see loads and loads of amazing acoustic stuff going on there. Lots of covers. And then I did one cover, and I don't think I even played my guitar. I used it as a drum instead. That was my first one, and people were just like, shit, you can sing as well. I was like, well, I mean, you know, I can hold a tune. and it just expanded from there. And then I started to really concentrate on my guitar a little bit more, playing a few things on guitar. And I had always written songs from being a, a kid. Like I said, Yoda Skoda, amazing song. And I'd had a little bit more time with not having to go out, and started writing a little bit again. And yeah, so I did an original and played that for the guys, and everybody was a little bit impressed, I think. Then Sean Buckley got hold of me. Now Sean is a DJ, and how does he describe his stuff? Melodic music. So he's not a singer. All his stuff is music. And he said to me, Laura, do you fancy writing something and singing on a track for me? And I said, yeah, okay then. I'll give it a go. You know, I'm never the most confident with singing, never have been. And he sent me the track over. I started listening to it as I was walking out of work. By the time I got home, I had a chorus. And then I sat and worked on it for a few more hours, and it was done. It took me months to record it for him because I was so embarrassed. And I was like, does this work? Does that work? And then I went off to see my friend, Mr. James Henderson, who produced that for me. And we added a little bit of extra into it. So the tune that he sent me over was called Space. So please go and have a look at that. It's in his back catalogue. And then we released Games. So if you haven't heard that one, you need to have a little listen to Games. And then I went on a particular night out in London, and Kiss Me on a Friday Night was born.
So an autobiographical tune in.
Yes, very true story. Every word. Yeah, every word. And I came home, and I think, you know, I was there on the Friday night, clearly. Came home on the Saturday, and I wrote Kiss Me on a Friday Night in about half an hour on the Sunday, because things were just fresh in my mind, and it just fell out of my mouth. You know, I just started to learn a little bit of drums at that point, so I just sat on my drums playing it away, and I sent it over to James, and he went, are you playing the drums there? I was like, well, yeah. And he was like, shit, girl, like, how are you playing the drums and singing? Because that's how I did it. I just sent him, just a voice note of me playing the drums. And he was like, I don't get you. You shouldn't be able to do that now. How long have you been playing drums? Well, 4 weeks. It was just like, you shouldn't be able to do that. Yeah. And then he went, no, I need you to do it on guitar. I went, seriously? He was like, I was like, I can't. He was like, yeah, you can. I was like, I can't. He was like, yeah, you can. So we had a little bit of a row. And then did it on the guitar for him as well. And it just kept going. And I think we had the whole thing done within the space of a month. And what a cracker. I still love it now. It just makes me smile every time I think of it. It's just one of those feel-good songs, isn't it? You know.
It's a good 3 to 4 minutes of power, pop, sing-along, rock. A great track. And if anyone wants to go to that, they can find that just under Laura Jane. That's on Spotify and all the streaming services. I remember on the evening that came out, I think you put a video up and you were quite emotional because I think there was so much going on around it, if I remember rightly. I think it was quite an emotional time for you.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Someone had done a review of it, and but it wasn't just a review of the song. It was a review of me as a person. I mean, even just to sort of think about it now, it still chokes me up a little bit. And you never see yourself through other people's eyes, and a lot of the time, I always never felt good enough, and it's why I'd never released anything or never sort of put any myself out there, I suppose. And to be told just in one review that you are was just, it just absolutely bowled me over, you know, to be told by somebody else what an amazing person you are, and you don't believe it. I still don't believe it because I'm just me. I'm just, yeah. You know, I'm just, I do the things I do because I love what I do, and I love to help people, and that's what gives me a great feeling. And whatever I do for anybody, I never expect anything back in return, because why would I? I'm doing it, you know, to help other people. And I think sometimes we can forget that in the industry that we're in, that if we're doing this for the gratitude of other people, for other people to constantly say thank you to us, you're not doing it for the right reasons, you know. And it was just nice for that to be kind of brought home to me, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So it was very emotional. I'd just finished a 12-hour shift, which I don't do 12-hour shifts. It just happened to be that way because that's how my work goes. And I needed to be there with patients at that particular time. And yeah, and came home and read that and just blew me away.
Like I said, great track. If you haven't listened to it yet, go and listen to it. So, Laura, I guess we should probably talk about your musical taste at some point in this podcast. That's what it's all about. So, Laura, what music are you into? What does it for you?
You see, my musical taste, if you've ever listened to my show, if you've ever listened to Loud and Lush, you will see my musical taste is just all over the place. It's mental. You know, people have their own genre, I suppose, and they stick to that. Mine's, nah. If I like a song, I like a song. So if you ask me, you know, who's your favourite band, who's this, who, you know, who's your favourite artist, you're never ever going to get one person, because one week I'll be listening to one album constantly for the whole week, and the next it'll be somebody else, and the next it'll be somebody else. But so the first ever record that I fell in love with was actually called January February, and I got it on the front of a packet of Rice Krispies, right? That's when they used to give free shit away. And it was by Barbara Dixon, who went on to be one of my favourite leading ladies on the West End, and actually starred in my favourite musical, Blood Brothers. I must have seen that about 20 times now, which was really weird because I didn't know who she was at the time. You know, I was about 5-year-old when I got this bloody thing on the front of the Rice Krispies box. After that, Madonna was a big part of my growing up. We had Bros. Take That was one of the first, not the first, but it was one of the first concerts that I ever went to. And that was just as they were kicking off. And that was at the Mall in Stockton. So, yeah, we got to see them before they were really, really big, which was amazing. And then kind of from there, I haven't really been to that many gigs, but my musical taste just continued. My brothers were into Erasure, so I had a lot of that in my life. My dad, Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow. So, you know, musical influences are just all over the place. But I suppose now, big fan of Pink. If you ever get the chance to see Pink perform, oh, she's going to put a show on for you. Absolutely amazing lady. But yeah, she's part of my festival.
Oh, giving away the early spoilers. So before we come on to your fantasy festival, anything you're listening to at the moment? So I watched a music documentary at the weekend about Alanis Morissette. So I'm back in like a Jagged Little Pill phase, which I really enjoy listening to. Arcade State's new single, I'm enjoying. I started listening today to Olivia Rodrigo's album on the recommendation of a workmate, and I won't like that. That's female young teen pop, but it's a great album actually. It's really good. She's not what I expected at all. So there's lots going on at the moment for me. What about you, Laura? Anything you're listening to at the moment?
I'm very, very, very privileged to get to hear a lot of new music before it's released. So, you know, the new music community, the likes of The Chase, The Great Leslie, massive fans of The Great Leslie. They're a really good bunch of good guys. I have recently found Red Rum Club. Spot on. I've been listening to a hell of a lot of them lately. You know, I'm good friends with the guys from the Haciendas. They've just released a song last week, and they've just released their new music video for that today. So please, everybody go and check it out. Other music, I'm a big girl fan, as in, you know, who doesn't love the likes of Sia and Beyonce and Lady Gaga? They're just absolutely phenomenal women who I have loved to listen to. Alicia Keys, come on, you know, just absolutely love her. But I'm not going to talk too much about bands and stuff because we'll talk about them later.
Okay, love it. So you mentioned Barbara Dixon. Was that your first single? Or do you remember buying your first single that wasn't a freebie off a Rice Krispie packet?
Buying will have been the Immaculate Collection. But my first ever record that was mine was the Barbara Dixon one. But yeah, the Immaculate Collection was the first ever vinyl that I bought for myself.
Very nice. Still holds up the test of time, that, the Immaculate Collection. So, Laura, this podcast is all about you collecting your fantasy festival. Are you a big festival goer? Do you enjoy festivals?
Well, for me, I've only ever been to one big festival, and that was Jersey Live. So we have just been talking about this as well. So who plays at Jersey Live? High Flying Birds. I mean, come on, Professor Green. That was one where we were walking past a tent, and I said to my friends, "We're going in there." And they're like, "Why?" And I was like, "Listen to that." It was just a guy on an acoustic guitar playing, and I was absolutely blown away by him. And I was like, "I need to find out who that was." We found out a week later when Jake Bugg released Lightning Bolt.
Oh, wow.
I was, you know, touching distance with Jake Bugg because he was playing in the newbie tent. So, yeah, it was just, like, absolutely fantastic.
And do you have a favourite gig, Laura? Is there one gig for you that stands out, or a couple for you that stand out? I know you've mentioned gigs briefly, but do you have a favourite at all?
As I've said previously, Pink. I've seen Pink live, and she's just such an amazing performer. Singing, and she's upside down above your head, swinging from the rafters, do you know what I mean? And then the next minute she's running out on top of you on a bloody ball. And just, if you're ever going to go and see a show, that is, you know, just fabulous. And she is pitch perfect when she sings at these gigs, even when she's bloody upside down. Can't go wrong.
Absolutely. So that was a bit about Laura's musical taste. So like I said at the top of the episode, this podcast is all about getting our guest to collate her fantasy festival. So Laura gets to choose any five acts, one of whom must play one of their albums in full, and Laura also gets to pick an encore, which all of her five acts can perform together at the end of her fantasy festival. So very simple, five acts take five time slots. So I had Jay Tennant in on the last episode. He collated his Woodstock Reloaded Festival, and he had Echo and the Bannermen in his opening act. In his super second slot, he picked The Cult. In his Midway Madness slot, he picked David Bowie. Pre-headline, he had The Stones, and he had them play Exile on Main Street. And in his headline act, he had The Doors. And then he had them all come out together to play There She Goes to end his fantasy festival. So a very easy concept. But before we talk about your five acts, Laura, we've got to give your fantasy festival a name, and we've got to hold it somewhere and give it a venue. So, Laura, what are you going to call your fantasy festival?
So my fantasy festival is going to be called Music's the Law.
Music.
A, because I think it should be.
Yeah.
And B, the law's my roller derby skating name.
Okay, I like what you've done there. So we've got Music's the Law, Laura, and where are you going to hold it? So you can take us anywhere you like. You can take us back to Jersey, we can hold it in Teesside, maybe go to the Riverside, or anywhere else in Middlesbrough. We can go across the pond, we can go anywhere you like. So we're going to take us for Music's the Law.
I'm going to keep it at home. I'm going to play this at Gisborough Priory because it's beautiful. And it's a perfect, perfect venue to have a massive festival.
Great shout. So we're going to Gisborough Priory for Music's the Law. So before we talk about your five acts, Laura, you've said how hard this has been to whittle it down to five. I'm sure there's many great acts who aren't going to make it into Music's the Law. So any acts who you want to quickly give a mention to that you love, but for one reason or another, just haven't been able to make it into your five acts for your fantasy festival?
So yeah, it's been really, really hard to decide. So 5 Seconds of Summer, you know, they've been on there. I mean, they're not somebody that I know the whole collection of, but I've been listening to a hell of a lot of them recently and just absolutely love them. As I've already said, Dido, oh, love the lady. Done a few covers of hers before. I'm going to have to pay a little mention to the first ever band that I ever saw called The Almighty, which is a massive, heavy rock band that I went to see when I was about 14. I've told this story so many times, I'm not going to bore everybody with it, but just ended up in a massive mosh pit at Middlesbrough Town Hall, in the middle of all these massive, burly, hairy men being just bounced off the floor. Like, what an experience. What an experience, yeah, to The Almighty. And I found some clips and played them for Paula and everybody, and they were like, what is this? And I was like, I told you my musical taste just flies from one spectrum to the other. So, yeah, they could have been in there, but I've picked somebody else for that one. Taylor Swift, people, I could just keep going.
Well, there's some big acts already who've mentioned who don't make it. Five Sauce, never made a fantasy festival, they have to wait another week. Same as Dido, same as The Almighty, who've never been picked. Taylor Swift's been picked before, so she'll come back, I'm sure, soon for another fantasy festival. So some big acts there not making it, but five acts do make it. So Laura, Gisborough Priory packed, 2 o'clock, Music's the Law sold out, you can be backstage, front stage, anywhere you want. I'm sure you'll have your shits and giggles ladies with you and loads of the new music community there to watch it. So who are you going to have open your fantasy festival?
To open my fantasy festival, I am going for Rag and Bone Man.
Good shout. First time Rag and Bone Man has been picked for Fantasy Festival. So I guess why Rag and Bone Man for you to open your Fantasy Festival?
Have you not heard his voice? Jesus. Like, his last album for me just, it touched home for me quite a lot. So that's Life by Misadventure. And it's very much me. There's lots of acoustic in there, and just his voice, just it melts me. It absolutely melts me. And he actually reminds me very much of my friend Lenny James, who he's making his way up on the music scene. He's in our new music crew. Please go and check Lenny out, because he's a big guy like Rag and Bone Man. He's very, very much like him. Very much style like him, but he's gonna blow you away with his next few tunes, is Lenny. I've had the privilege of listening to some clips. I'm not gonna say that I've heard them all because it's a bit early days yet, but my god, yeah, Lenny James is gonna, you're all gonna like him shortly. But yeah, Rag and Bone Man, he just touched me with that album. The last I've loved him, you know, ever since he started out. He's got a really good vibe, but just that last album just absolutely touched my heart with it. He did
great stuff. So Rag and Bone Man is going to be your opening act, first time he's been picked for a fantasy festival. You're right, his voice is very distinctive, got a very good set of lungs on him, can definitely belt out a tune. He's going to play Music's the Law from 2 till 3, so we'll take a half hour break then your Super Seconds act will be out to follow Rag & Bone Man. So, Laura, who are you going to have in your Super Seconds act?
Super Seconds for me is going to be Panic at the Disco.
Ah, another newbie to the Fantasy Festival. So, first time Panic at the Disco have been picked for Fantasy Festival. So, why Panic at the Disco, Laura?
I don't know. I love their vibe. I love the way that they can go from doing a bit of a bluesy, jazzy tune and then halfway through turn it into some kind of pop music. I love that. I think he, once again, has got a very, very distinctive voice. And I love the energy behind them. I love that they're a little bit different. They don't conform to everything that we all expect. I hate some of their videos, but I will not get into that. But yeah, I like their vibe. I'm not saying that I am the biggest fan in the whole world of them. They are somebody that I've grown to like more than as soon as I heard them, I was going to go like, yeah, I'm going to go out and buy everything that they've ever done. But more will be revealed as we get further on.
Oh, very cryptic. Cryptic Laura. All right, so Panic at the Disco are taking your Super Seconds act. First time they are playing a Fantasy Festival. They're going to play from 3:30 to 4:30. We're going to take another half-hour break, and it'll be time for your Midway Madness slot. We're going to play from 5 till 6. So, Laura, who's going to play in your Midway Madness slot?
It has to be my girl, Pink. It has to be my girl, Pink. She has to be part of my Fantasy Festival. I can't tell you how long I've been a fan of Pink. And as I say, I've had the privilege of seeing her play live. And she's just one spunky lady. She just, you know, she is who she is. And she doesn't give a crap about that. And more of us need to be like that. We just need to be who we are. And I think she's just such a good promoter of that. You know, you see her with her kids and she has them. She gets slated for the fact that she takes her kids on tour with them. But what mother wouldn't want to be with her kids? You know, she still educates them just the same. So why is that a problem? I don't know. But, you know, each individual is going to have their own opinion on that. But she does her. And I highly respect that about her.
So she's only got an hour at your Fantasy Festival and she could play for 4 or 5 hours. Is there any songs that she has to play for you that you're going to demand in her contract that she has to play?
She has to play some of her ones that probably aren't her most popular. I love Glitter in the Air. Is just an absolutely beautiful song. And the range of her voice in that one just is phenomenal. And I would love her to be Mr. President as well, because it's very controversial. Yeah, I mean, the list's kind of endless. It's not the most popular ones that I would probably have a play, but they might be a bit slow for a festival, so, you know, we might have to get her to ramp it up with some of the stuff.
Great stuff. Now, I've never been lucky enough to see Pink. I've only ever seen a Pink tribute act, and she was amazing. And I still talk to my wife about it, and she's like, she was a tribute act, but the Pink tribute act who we saw was unreal at Butlins about 3 years ago, so I can only imagine what the real thing must be like. So Pink makes your Fantasy Festival. First time, believe it or not, she gets the call up for a Fantasy Festival, so she makes her Fantastival debut. She's going to play from 5 till 6. So 3 acts down, 2 acts left to go. Take a half hour break, that takes to 6:30, and your pre-headline act are going to get an hour and a half to play. So Laura, who's gonna take the difficult position of following Pink and playing your pre-headline act?
So next up is Skid Row.
Oh, great shout.
Skid Row, I've been listening to since I was about 15, and this is what I say about my musical taste just like all over the place. Skid Row for me just were my teenage years, along with, you know, a little bit of Take That, a little bit of New Kids on the Block. Look, New Kids on the Block, they're cool, yeah.
NKOTB.
You know, did I say Bros? Yeah, probably did. I was never a proper, like, you know, I wasn't a Brosette or anything, and I was never absolutely mad on Take That, like some of my friends are. But I listened to them. But Skid Row, just their album Skid Row, just, I Remember You. Oh, I still listen to that to this day, and I'm just like, oh, the fist has to come out, you know, you have to give it the whole proper dramatic when you're listening to I Remember You. Sweet Little Sister, 18 and Life, just, oh, that album for me, and that is actually the bands that I would get to play my full album.
Awesome.
And that's the album.
So they're going to play the Skid Row album. And will you have them, you can obviously have Skid Row from any point in their musicality. So you're having Sebastian Bach sing for them, because I'm well aware he doesn't sing for them anymore. He does his own thing. So we're going to get him back in the band.
Yes, Sebastian Bach is back in the band because it's his early days with Skid Row.
I love it. So Skid Row always bring a smile to my face, because I had a previous guest on about a year and a half ago by the name of Sharon Jones, and I love Sharon. Unfortunately, Sharon's no longer with us. She passed away couple of weeks ago in Skid Row were her pick for her Midway Madness slot, and she always used to speak about Skid Row. So Skid Row always bring a smile to my face. So I'm delighted to see them back in the Fantasy Festival world. So they're your pre-headline act. They're going to play their album Skid Row. They're going to play for an hour and a half. That'll take us to 8 o'clock. We'll take 1.5 hour break, then it'll be time for your headline act. So we're going to get 2.5 hours. They're going to play from 8:30 to 11:00. So far, you said your music taste is quite varied, and you can kind of see that in your lineup from the areas you've been to. So I've got absolutely no idea where you're going to go with your headline act, which makes it quite good as a host. So, Laura, who's going to headline Music's the Law?
Bastille.
Okay, so Bastille, never been picked for a fantasy festival before. They're your headliner. So I guess, Laura, why are Bastille headlining your fantasy festival?
Because they are awesome. One of my favourite things about Bastille is that you need to listen to these guys do an acoustic set, okay? You can listen as much as you like to them doing to whatever's on Spotify, but until you listen to these guys do an acoustic set, you don't appreciate how fucking talented they are. And there's a lot of that, there's a lot of the pure acoustic stuff on YouTube, and that is one of the only places that I've been able to find it. And they do a couple of covers of Pompeii and things like that. And they're literally just in a massive building. I think it's some kind of church. And one of them has a guitar. The drummer actually just claps and uses the guitar case and then sings. And it is just unfucking believable. Pardon my French. Right? Just, I just sat, like, first time I watched it, and with just my jaw open going, what? How are they producing this sound with what they've got?
Yeah.
Just, please go and have a listen to it. They do have an album on Spotify that's more orchestral. It says acoustic, but it's more orchestral, I would say. And that, once again, is better for me. It touches my ears so much more than how they actually do the songs, you know, as run of the mill. Just amazing.
Okay, so Bastille making their Fantastival debut. They're headlining Music's the Law. They're going to play 2.5 hours from 8:30 to 11:00. Then at 11 o'clock, they're going to bring Skid Row back out on stage with Pink, Panic at the Disco and Rag and Bone Man. So you've got a very eclectic lineup there, but a very talented lineup. And they all get to play one song. The rumours backstage is that they all want to play Kiss Me on a Friday Night. But I think we've said no. Or you can say yes if that's where you want to go. But they get to all play one song, Laura. So what are you going to have all your five acts play to close your fantasy festival?
Now everybody's going to think I'm really weird now. Because Panic at the Disco actually do this as a cover. And one of my other favourite things in life is Disney.
I know what you're going to say.
And Panic at the Disco covered Into the Unknown, which is from Frozen 2. And I want all them to play that for me. For me.
That's genius, because I reckon Sebastian Bach could easily hit some of those notes that are going on. I reckon Pink would do it. Rag and Bone Man could do it. That's an ingenious choice. Joe, you know, I almost mentioned that my association with Panic at the Disco is Frozen 2, but I didn't, because I thought you might mention it. But I'm glad I didn't mention it, so that's coming to your encore. But an amazing song. I remember watching that at the cinema with my daughters, and that version comes on at the credits at the end. And I was like, who is this? Because I could kind of place it, but couldn't, because it's weird hearing band like that do a Disney song, but
a cover like that, yeah, it's just amazing. I did that. I came across the song just totally out of the blue. I was obviously just listening to them. I'd, you know, asked Alexa to play, and she was playing away, and I was like, "What is this?" Yeah. Like, whoa! And then I think I danced around my front room pretending to be bloody, out of Frozen for about 2 hours, just on repeat, going, "Woo-hoo-hoo! Come on! Check that out!"
A great encore there. So let's lock it in then, Laura. You can still change your mind up until the point where we lock it in. So we've got Music Salore taking place at Gisborough Priory. In your opening act slot, we've got Rag & Bone Man, followed in your super seconds by Panic at the Disco. Pink takes your Midway Madness slot. Pre-headline, we've got Skid Row, and they're going to play their album Skid Row in Full. And headlining your Fantasy Festival, we've got Bastille. And for your encore, they're all going to play Into the Unknown. Laura Jane, are you happy to lock that into the Fantastical Vaults?
I am happy to lock that into the vault.
That is it. That is done, and that is vaulted away. So I guess before we finish in, what does the rest of 2022 look like for you, Laura? What have you got planned? What's going on?
So obviously I'm continuing with the radio shows as best I can. Lots and lots of gigs coming up. I am off to Kendall Calling shortly, which is going to be really good to see some of my friends from the new music community playing there. Revival are playing, the Haciendas are playing, I think Red Room Club, I don't know them as yet, I can't wait to see them. Bastille are actually playing, and I've never seen them play live. So I am so looking forward to that. It's unreal. Yeah, and for me, for music, I've got a fair bit of stuff going to be coming out as soon as I have the money to get it produced. I've got a lot of stuff written. And I'm not so great at the music side, but, you know, the guy who produces stuff for me really, really pushes me to make the choices myself and come up with the melodies myself and to really start it off so that it's mine. And he's just so good at doing that. As I said previously, you know, me and James, every now and again, we'll have a little bit of an argument. I'll say I can't, he'll say you can. I'll say I can't, he'll say you can. He'll piss me off and then I'll go and do it.
Yeah.
Just to prove him wrong, you know. That's what us women do. And I suppose that's what I've done the whole of my life. So, yeah, I'm not going to stop now, am I?
So most people...
So, yeah, lots to come. I think hopefully by the end of the year, and I still do lots and lots of... collaborations as well, which I'm working on. So it's just a time thing, yeah.
And lots of people listening to this will already know you from your Twitter account, but if someone doesn't and is hearing you for the first time and thinks Laura sounds like a very interesting person who's onto new music and would worth a follow, how does someone find you on social media, Laura?
I'm on all social medias as Laura Jane 3W1M, and I'm that on everything. So, yeah, Facebook, I am on there. I am on Instagram and Twitter.
Well worth a follow, not only for her musical tracks, but her recommendations. And it's always good fun looking at your timeline because there's always good banter and great recommendations. So that is it, everyone. Thanks for listening to the 95th episode of the Fantastival podcast. And if you've enjoyed this one, please subscribe. Give the Fantastival podcast a review, which you can do on iTunes, or you can rate the show on Spotify. And please remember to recommend this podcast to all of your families and friends. Laura's on Twitter, so is the Fantastival podcast. So make sure to give us a follow at Fantastival P. And you can also email the podcast if you're not on Twitter at fantastivalpodcast@outlook.com. We can't play music on podcasts, but we can get playlists. So I'll get some tracks from Laura. We'll make a nice little Spotify playlist and we'll write that in the episode description. So scroll down on your episode and you'll see a few links there to Spotify and we'll put some great tracks on there. So Laura, you've been an amazing guest, a great way to cap off 95 in our mid-90s now. How have you found it? Because this is more about you talking about yourself and your musical taste and talking about new music acts, which can be quite difficult at points, but you've come across really well and very natural. I mean, how have you found it?
It's been a great experience. Until you sit down and really think about these things, you know, you don't. It isn't something you think about. And I would never really have thought that those would actually be the people that I would pick. And it's changed quite a lot since you asked me to to do this. It was like, I keep thinking in my head, you know, oh, this one. And then I go, no, why would we be doing that one? It's going to be this one, you know. And it's just changed several times. So, but I think that'd be a rocking festival, lad.
I would be buying a ticket and looking at train times to get down to Teesside. So, Laura, again, massive thank you for coming on. Wonderful guest. So that is it, like I said. I'll be back next week with episode number 96. So please make sure to join me. But until then, stay safe, my Fantastival friends. Please continue to spread the word. And that word is Fantastival. Thanks for listening.